All right, there's a fourth shiur here in the second parak of Rosh Hashanah, and we are continuing our discussion from last week. And last week, a strange maramakam, but an incredibly important maramakam as it relates to the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. So I'm going to just quickly summarize what we talked about last week, and let's continue and develop the discussion. I asked a basic question last week in terms of how it is that Beis Din establishes the new month. And as I mentioned last week, if you only knew Mishnayos and Rosh Hashanah, which seems to be a very good source, a very good place to get your information from, so the Mishnayos and Rosh Hashanah give the following picture. And I'm not going to be that elaborative because all this is a review of what we did last week. The Mishnayos would give you this picture of, you would have witnesses see the new month, see the new moon, I should say, go to Beis Din, inform Beis Din they saw the new moon. There are two kosher witnesses, they check out. Beis Din hears them, Beis Din says, okay, great. Beis Din then establishes this is the day of the new month, as we already discussed numerous times. There are two candidates to make it a Rosh Chodesh, either the 30th or the 31st of the previous month. And so when Beis Din now accepts the testimony of the witnesses and they hear about the seeing of the new month, they will establish this to be the new month. And so if I asked you the question, how does Beis Din arrive at the conclusion of establishing which day is going to be the Rosh Chodesh, the answer is going to be Al Pi Edim. It's going to be based on the testimony of witnesses, and we're going to see, we're going to start one Mishnah today, we're going to see Mishnah after Mishnah here in the second Perek, which gives us very intricate details in terms of how we count, how we ask questions to the witnesses, how we interrogate the witnesses. There's going to be so many Mishnayos that speak to this idea. And of course, not just the Mishnah, the Mishnah of the Gemara as well. Okay, so that is the presentation as given to us by the Mishnah and by the Gemara. And Rabbeinu Bachya, which I started reading last week, and we're going to not finish it, but we're going to finish the points that I want to get through here in the Rabbeinu Bachya. So he unloaded a chiddush atzam, a tremendous chiddush. And he said that the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh is not on the masses. Neither you or I have this mitzvah of making Kiddush HaChodesh. The mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh is simply on Beis Din, right? And here I highlight, I underline, Ein mitzvah ki im le Beis Din mumchin. This mitzvah is only on Beis Din. K'moshe v'aron, al kein b'hadav l'shneim. That's why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduced the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, which parenthetically is presented in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis in Sefer Shmos, Parshas Bo. So that's why it said the pasuk says lachem, right? That's the pasuk in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis, meaning Beis Din. Beis Din are the only ones who have this obligation. And then that's one chiddush. But then we get to the massive chiddush of the Rabbeinu Bachya. And the massive chiddush of Rabbeinu Bachya is that the mitzvah to establish Rosh Chodesh has nothing to do with the witnessing of the new moon. Nothing. The mitzvah is simply based in knowing the astronomy and mathematics. And to put it simply, even more succinctly, cheshbon. What they're going to do is they're going to make an accounting because they know the numbers. They know precisely, well, I say precisely, they know the precise average of how long it takes the moon to go around the earth. They therefore know exactly when it is that they're going to have to make Rosh Chodesh. And based on cheshbon, and only based on cheshbon, Beis Din is going to go ahead and establish this to be the new month. And the Kiddush Al Pi HaRe'iya, which is what we're learning in the Mishnayos and in the Gemara, that's not really the cause of what's making a Rosh Chodesh. Rather, it's the cheshbon done by Beis Din. I'm going to quote some lines that we read last week in the Rabbeinu Bachya, which are just tremendous chidushim. The Torah is not interested in us making Rosh Chodesh based on the witnessing of the new moon. As far as establishing when's the new month, it has nothing to do, there is nothing to do with the witnessing of the new moon. You see the new moon, you don't see the new moon, doesn't matter. It's just simply not a concern. The only mitzvah for Beis Din to make Rosh Chodesh is only Al Pi HaCheshbon. That is a tremendous chiddush. Now, by the way, just to be clear, Rabbeinu Bachya, right, he's a bit of a later commentary on Chumash, medieval, but he's quoting Rabbeinu Chananel, right? He said that in the beginning. In fact, right over here, because of Rabbeinu Chananel. Okay, this is a chiddush of Rabbeinu Chananel, which goes back to the late period of the Gaonim. He went on to say that this is obviously a tremendous, it's a mathematical puzzle, but okay, in other words, Babesin has smart people, and they can do the math in terms of figuring it out. Now, okay, good. That's basically what we said last week. Now, let's advance the discussion just a little bit. The first question, which we have to ask, is the following. If the mitzvah is for Beis Din to establish a Beis HaCheshbon, so what is all this? What's the Mishnayos? What's the Gemara? Meaning, why are the Mishnayos and the Gemara sending us on a, quote-unquote, a wild goose chase? Right? I don't want to be disrespectful in the way I present it, but like they're telling us to go through the system, which is not the mitzvah, according to Rabbi Nabache, according to Rabbi Nochanano. What's going on? And for that matter, what is this whole system of seeing the new moon, having them come to Beis Din? Meaning, if that's not the mitzvah, so why invest any energy in a system that's not really the mitzvah? And then, as long as I'm here, we can also ask another question. As the Mishnayos tell us, as the Gemara tells us, it is so important that the Edom come to Beis Din in order to tell Beis Din that they saw the new moon, that they are Mechal Shabbos to do so. So that means to say, the Mishnayos describe, it happens to be the end of the first parak, so we didn't start there. But the Mishnayos tell us that they can go beyond Chum, they can get on horse, they can be armed. They could be Mechal Shabbos in order to get to Beis Din, in order to tell them that they saw the new moon. And now the question becomes even more obvious. Meaning, if that's not really the system, so then how in the world could they be Mechal Shabbos in order to do something which is not really even the mitzvah? That last question, by the way, parenthetically, is going to be very difficult. I will struggle answering that last question. But these are all very simple, basic questions that one's going to ask based on this statement on the Chiddush of the Rabbeinu Bachya. Okay. We pointed out last week, Rabbeinu Bachya, we're going to answer these questions. But before doing so, Rabbeinu Bachya is going to support this Chiddush based on a lot of evidence. And so what we're going to be doing this evening is we're just going to go point by point through the pieces of evidence that Rabbeinu Bachya shows that the Kiddush HaChodesh is done al pi HaCheshbon and not al pi HaRe'iyah. So the first thing that we already saw last week, which I'll just simply quickly review, is that, well, for the 40 years that they were in the desert, meaning the Torah was already given, and we have an obligation to already set up Rosh Chodesh for those first 40 years. 40 years, 12 months a year. So that is, without doing the math, a lot of Rosh Chodeshes that need to be set up. And Rabbeinu Bachya points out, as we all know, they were covered all day and all night, meaning the Jews were in a bubble. Right, I know that is right. We don't want to hear that kind of language these days, but they were in a bubble, in clouds, surrounded by clouds during the day, surrounded by fire at night. So in other words, they couldn't see the moon, they couldn't see the sun. And how are they Mekadosh HaChodesh? And the answer is because they did it al pi HaCheshbon. Okay, that was one proof of Rabbeinu Bachya. But then he's got a number of unbelievable proofs. Okay, and this is all new material. We did not do this last week. And I'm not going to read this part inside, but I'll just show you where we are in the Rabbeinu Bachya. We are looking at this paragraph right over here. So every time Rosh Chodesh falls out on a Sunday, so you go to shul, you're learning Haftarah. What's the Haftarah that you're learning? Machar Chodesh. Machar Chodesh, it's simply because, you know, it's a story in Navi that has to do with the fact that tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. Okay. And so Rabbeinu Bachya says, now, without going through all the details of the story, David, Yehonasan, Shaul, okay, they're I'm bypassing all the details. Anyway, as part of the context of the whole story, so David says to Yehonasan, you know that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Okay, David says that to Yehonasan. Now, if the whole system is based on witnesses coming and declaring that they saw the new moon, and then and only then are you establishing a Rosh Chodesh, so how can you possibly predict in advance that tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh? There's no way. You can't predict tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh if we need witnesses to come. Because if witnesses don't come, so then tomorrow's not going to be Rosh Chodesh. So by virtue of the fact that they clearly knew in advance when Rosh Chodesh is, it seems to indicate that the Kiddush HaChodesh was done al pi HaCheshbon. It was done with calculation. It was not done with the witnessing of the new moon. Okay. Okay. And now we'll come back to a couple of other proofs as well. But here now we get, and I'm going to start reading now in the Rabbeinu Bachya. By the way, if you want to follow with me, you could, first of all, I'm screen sharing, and it's Rabbeinu Bachya in the beginning of Parsha Shmos, and it's also in the Mara Makomos, which is attached to the Shir. So in all those ways, you could follow with me. Kacha yinu agin kol Yisrael lekvor chadashim al pi acheshbon. Elef u'mea shanim yimos Moshe Rabbeinu ve'antignos rosh golav v'rosh sanhedrin. And Rabbeinu Bachya says that for 1,100 years, okay, a 30-second crash course in Jewish history, we are now 3,300 years post Kabbalah Satorah, right? The tomorrow night when we are celebrating Kabbalah Satorah. So that is an event that happened over 3,300 years ago. So we are 3,300 years past Kabbalah Satorah. We are, from the time that the Torah was given until the first Beis HaMikdash was built, that was 480 years. The first Beis HaMikdash lasted 410 years. If you're keeping score, that's 890 years. We were in Galus for an additional 70 years. That is now a total of 960 years. So we are nearly 1,000 years from leaving Mitzrayim and Kabbalah Satorah and the building of Bayis Sheni. So we are now somewhere towards the beginning of Bayis Sheni. Okay, that was a crash course. So anyway, for 1,100 years into the second Beis HaMikdash, Rabbeinu Bach and Rabbeinu Chananel are saying there was no witnesses. They didn't come and testify about the thing of the new month. The month was established for those 1,100 years based on Cheshbon, on astronomy and math. V'hayu b'chlal tamid of shanim v'heim, tzadik v'vaitos. Now, what happens at this point in time? So what happens at this point in time is that you have Antignus Yishochel. Now, you should be familiar with him. He's mentioned the beginning of Pirkei Avos. He is part of the Masorah that is outlined in the beginning of Pirkei Avos. He is the Aves Din, and he's the head of the Sanhedrin. Synonymous terms. In towards the beginning of Bayis Sheni, and he had two students, notably Tzadok and Vaitos. Maybe you've heard the name. And the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, he tells them, Alti yukava dema misham shemes rava menasa kabal pras. So don't serve the master as if you're going to be receiving a reward. And the students, Tzadok and Vaitos, looked at one another and they said to each other, What's he talking about? And they asked the question, is that mean to say we're not getting schar? Meaning we're going to do all this and we're not going to get any schar? And so that's not what he meant. What he meant was is that from an attitude standpoint, don't work and don't do the mitzvos and don't do the avodah as if just because you want to get the reward, but you got to be fully invested in it. That's what he meant. He was talking about an attitude. They didn't fully understand him. And nichna safek belivam v'chashu shein onish v'schar. And so the students, Tzadok and Baitor, thought there was no schar v'onish. V'yatzu l'tar b'sra'ah. And so here we begin now the period in Jewish history of sectarian Jewry, where you had branches breaking off. And this is the roots of it. It is Antignus Yishocho and their students, and his students, Tzadok and Baitos, v'hizchilu la'orah b'zeh b'kviyas ha'yareach. And one of the things that they did in order to corrupt the Jewish people is they said, this idea that Beis Din's got some sort of magic formula to know when Rosh Chodesh is, nonsense. V'amru ki ein ikar mitzvah l'kol chadashim al pi ha'cheshbon, ki im b'riyas l'avana, v'u'a davar ha'tzodek v'amuchuvan. They said, what's this business about them setting up the month, establishing Rosh Chodesh based on Cheshbon? That's nonsense. In other words, we have to see the new moon. And what the generation had to do is the generation basically had to dispel this idea. So he quotes the Gemara, which we're going to see together, in terms of when is Rosh Chodesh? So it's based on a cycle. 29 days, 12 hours, 793 chalakim, like we've already discussed numerous times. Rabbi Gamliel did not establish Rosh Chodesh based on the witnessing of the new moon. Ki al pi ha'cheshbon, he worked with cheshbon. Va'od Mishnah Shlemahi. Now we're going to see this Mishnah together, upcoming. Ra'o Beisin, not today. Ra'o Beisin v'chol Yisrael nechra ha'edim v'lo espiko l'omar mikudash ha'shechashecha ha'rezem u'ubar. Let's say it's the 30th day of the month. The witnesses come in, as I already described. You're only going to get to see the new moon as the day is ending. So we are close to sunset. They saw the new moon. They run to Beis Din. They are trying to get their whole act together. Meanwhile, by the time they get the words out of their mouth that they saw the new moon, already now it's nightfall. What do you do? It's very simple. Here's what you do. You move Rosh Chodesh to the next day. So in other words, Rosh Chodesh is not going to be the 30th day, even though they saw the new moon on the 30th day, but Rosh Chodesh is going to be pushed off to day 31. Zurai gadol shalai isabi adam ikar riyas halavana, she'ilo isabi adam ikar uvarai hamikachim ich acharei riyasam avrin oso. Rabbeinu Bachya says, can we think about this for a moment? How could it possibly be that they're telling you they saw it on the 30th day, and then we're just going to move it to the 31st day? In other words, how can that be? Oh, so it's clear that the establishment of the new moon is not based on the testimony. And then we're going to see a story also on Daf Chafei. Daf Chafei, by the way, is going to be an exciting daf in Rosh Hashanah. And we'll get there, just not today. So on Daf Chafei, there were witnesses who say that, you know, we saw the new moon, but then it kind of disappeared on us. And Rabbi Gamliel said, oh, Rosh Chodesh. Well, how could you see the new moon on the first night and not see the new moon on the second night? The new moon only grows in size. That's preposterous. Rabbi Gamliel set up the new moon based on cheshbon and not edim. Okay. And Rabbeinu Bachya, and here I'm gonna take a fast track over here. And Rabbeinu Bachya says, and we're gonna learn a mission together also coming up shortly, where Rabbi Gamliel brought people into his office. He had pictures of the moon on his office, and he pointed and he said, "Hey, how did you see it? Show me which picture it was." And okay, so all this now brings us to the many proofs of Rabbeinu Bachya that the establishment of the new month is not based on Edim, but rather it's based on Cheshbon. Now, Afal Pi, I should underline this part. Shayim Mekabel Ma'edim Zecha L'Davar, Lo Haisa Smichas Beisin Ki Ima L'Cheshbon, L'Divrei Hakol, Das Chok Ha'avor Halach L'Moshe Misinai Sheharishus B'Yad Beisin Agadol, K'shu Gadol She'en L'Mala Mimene B'Chachma, Uv'Yiras Chet. Sorry. Okay. Okay, sorry, I'm looking for the... Okay. Here we go, sorry. Ki Rabbi Gamliel asa tzuras halalu, Rabbi Gamliel with the pictures in his office, letalmid yitzadok v'aitos yidi aso b'mahalach lavan b'chol chodesh v'chodesh, v'chi yode b'chol chodesh v'chodesh b'ezet tzura tolad, and then Rabbeinu Bachya says, and then what's the whole point of the Edom coming in? So I know I read all that quickly, but I'm going to explain it now with detail. And that is that Rabbeinu Bachya says, let me paint a scene. You have witnesses coming in. Now remember, these witnesses are in nature, they're a little more tzeduki in nature, these witnesses. Right? They're not believing that the Cheshbon and Beis Din, right? The Torah Shebaal Peh is not speaking to them. So they come into Rabbi Gamliel's office and he says, What did you see? What new month did you see? What's the new moon that you see? Can you describe it? And Rabbeinu Bachya paints an unbelievable picture where basically Rabbi Gamliel says, hey, one second, let me guess, right? You saw that, and he pointed to a picture of the moon exactly as they saw it. And he says, and let me guess, it was situated in this part of the sky. And obviously Rabbi Gamliel is now showing them, you know, gentlemen, it's really nice that you're coming in here and you're telling me that you saw the new moon, but I'm also sharing with you, based on my calculation, based on my knowledge of astronomy, like I knew all this already. So what Rabbi Bach is trying to argue is that when Rabbi Gamliel brought them in, he was basically educating them and telling them, all this information you think you're sharing with us, which is like new information, Rabbi Gamliel says, it's not new information. It's information that I already know, and it was just a way of Rabbi Gamliel trying to educate the masses and teaching them. It has nothing to do with the witnessing of the new month. It has everything to do with Kfiyas HaChodesh. That's what he was trying to do with bringing people into his office, with showing him the pictures of the moon on the board. Okay, Ad Kan. That is the end of this Rabbi Nebachya. Obviously, there's a lot more. It's a little more Kabbalistic as we go on. But that is the point, however, I wanted to bring up. Is this agreed to by everybody? The simple answer is, and the short answer is no. Not everyone agrees to this idea of Rabbeinu Bachya and the Rabbeinu Hananel, that everything is predicated on the Cheshbon, and we invest nothing in the Kiddush HaChodesh. I will, however, leave you with, it's a tremendous Kiddush, I will leave you here, before we start with the Mishnah and the Gemara, with some questions that are really difficult. And I don't necessarily have answers, but I'm definitely provoking thought. Question number one, how are these witnesses being Mechal Shabbos? Meaning, if Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi HaRe'iyah is not the cause of making Rosh Chodesh, and it's not the mitzvah, and for 1,100 years, since Maamon Har Sinai, until Antignas Yishochon, until the students, if the only thing was done was Al Pi HaCheshbon, and then we are introducing Kiddush Al Pi Edim, only as a way of trying to educate the masses, like Rabbeinu Bachya taught us, so how can you be Mechal Shabbos for this? Okay, and I apologize for not having a prepared answer, but it's definitely a thought-provoking question. And I'll ask another thought-provoking question. And there has to be answers to these questions. I'm not asking them, like, in other words, right, it'd be better if I had answers. But I'll ask another thought-provoking question, and that is the following. So that means to say that when is Rosh Chodesh? Beis Din knows exactly when Rosh Chodesh is, because they're calculating Al Pi HaCheshbon. They're doing it with astronomy and math. That means to say that they know when Rosh Chodesh is, regardless of wherever Beis Din may be, or wherever Beis Din may not be. And what do I mean by that? Meaning that if you're in Eretz Yisrael and you happen to be within earshot of Beis Din, so you'll hear when they're being Mechadash HaChodesh. But even if you're not living in Eretz Yisrael, let's say you're living outside of Eretz Yisrael, let's say you're living in Bavel, and you don't know when Beis Din was Mechadash HaChodesh, okay. But if they're establishing Rosh Chodesh based on calculations and astronomy, so shouldn't they know this information both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael? Now, I guess you could suggest over here, I'm just thinking out loud, maybe you could suggest over here that this information Beis Din did not disseminate, meaning they only shared with people the conclusion, but not the process of how to get there. And maybe they didn't forecast so far into the future in terms of when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. But I'm not sure if I'm right about that. That's a lot of speculation on my part. However, I am wondering out loud, how could it be that there is any suffix of what day of Rosh Chodesh is in and outside of Eretz Yisrael during the time where they set up Rosh Chodesh based on Cheshbon? I'm not sure. So those are two really strong questions that I am raising just for provocation of thought. Okay, let's finish up today. That's the basic idea behind Rabbi Nebachya. It is a tremendous chiddush. And what we're going to do now is we're going to do just a little bit of Mishnah and Gemara together. I'm sorry I don't have it on the Mar Makoma sheet, but okay, you have a Gemara Rosh Hashanah in front of you. We are continuing on Chav Gimel and Aleph. Chatzar Gadol HaYisab Yerushalayim. There was this great courtyard in Yerushalayim of Ubeis Yazik HaYisa Nikris. And it was called Beis Yazik. Ulesham Kol HaEidim Mistansin Ubeis Din Botkin Osam. That's where the witnesses would assemble and collect. Beis Din would investigate them. And as far as Beis Din was concerned, Beis Din would also set up a kiddush for them in the courtyard in Yerushalayim, so that way they're going to be rewarded. You know how many shuls, I would say most shuls in our country, in our great country, and in Israel as well, after they finish with davening, so they have a kiddush. It's a reward. You behave so nicely over davening. Mazel tov. Here's some crackers. So it's not a new idea. So they had that in this chatzar in Yerushalayim, so that it would help incentivize them to come. Now, at first, they wouldn't move from there that whole day, meaning that because they left their own tchum and they entered into a brand new tchum on Shabbos, so that means that they were confined to that area. Rabbi Gamliel made the following takana, that because they were given full permission to leave their tchum and to go into the chatzar in Yerushalayim, so Rabbi Gamliel says, because we do not want to punish them for doing so, and we would much rather incentivize them in doing so, so therefore, even as they get to the chatzar in Yerushalayim, and even though they left their own tchum, they did so berushus, and so consequently, they can get a tchum from the chatzar, 2,000 amos in every direction. Anyone who is in life-rescuing mode, any first responder, a midwife who's going to deliver a baby, right? The fireman who's going to save somebody from a fire, or from an army, or from somebody drowning in the river, or from a house caving in. In all these cases, even though you were called in and you had to leave Tchum, nevertheless, you're going to be afforded the opportunity to go 2,000 amos from your new location in every direction. And let's just finish up today with the Gemara. The Gemara's question over here, an extraordinarily detail-oriented question. The Chatzar Gedola was in Yerushalayim, and it was called Beis Yazek. In the Mishnah, Yud Ayin Zayin Kuf. And is it with an ayin or without an ayin? Beis Yazek Tanan Lishna Ma'alyahu Ya'azek. So Ya'azek means to strengthen. Dechsi Vayazkeu V'yasalkeu. Oduma Beis Yazek Tanan Lishna Netzara. Or without the ayin, it's like nezik, like damages. Bound in chains. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. How can you call it something which is painful? They're going to walk into a phenomenal kiddush. The Gemara's response is, the Gemara says, well, that doesn't mean that everything's positive. You know how life is sometimes positive and negative? So, okay, so in other words, they did get to the chatzar and they are going to enjoy a great suda. On the other hand, they're trapped. For the rest of Shabbos, they're going to be in the chatzar and they can't get anywhere. And so therefore, it could be Yazik with a Yud Zayin Kuf, which means that they are constricted and suffering. That's a possibility. Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of that short section of the Mishnah and the Gemara. Okay, and with the upcoming Mishnah, we're going to be talking about the interrogation of the witnesses. We're going to be talking about Rabbi Gamliel showing off pictures of the moon to everybody. Oh, such good stuff coming up. And by the way, on the horizon, also coming up, is the major blow-up between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua in terms of which day is going to be Rosh Chodesh, which day consequently ended up becoming Yom Kippur, and the major blow-up between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. There's a lot of good stuff coming up here in the second parak. All right.